racing with Country Life Farm, where our partnerships can take you from beginning to winning.
Want to get your career in horse racing off to a fast start? Well, the University of Arizona's Racetrack Industry Program is your winning ticket. The Racetrack Industry Program has served as a springboard to some of the industry's most successful individuals, with a proven track record of job placement right out of college. If you want to earn a degree in the exciting horse racing industry,
visit ua-rtip.org today.
Why, in the past decade, has BRL Equine become the premier equine supplement company in the industry? Because we spend millions in research and development before we ever put out a product. Because we use only FDA-supervised facilities to manufacture for us. Because what we say is in them is in them. Because they work. Because if you're not happy, I'll give you your money back. And because top trainers and veterinarians in thoroughbred racing, standardbred racing, three-day eventing, and barrel racing all trust in BRL Equine. Shouldn't you? To find out more how Flexify HA, Unlock, LeaderShield, and EPO Equine can help you, contact me, Joseph Vellante, 215-501-6880.
Would you believe that champions weren't measured by rings, but by a crown? That the history books were written on dirt? That the greatest of all time was a horse?
He is running like a tremendous machine.
Experience the magic at this year's Belmont Stakes as we honor the 50th anniversary of Secretariat's legendary Triple Crown Triumph. Join the celebration at Belmont Park on Saturday, June 10th. Tickets on sale now at Belmont Stakes.
Want to know a secret? The Massachusetts Breeding Program pays huge bonuses for finishing first, second, or third at any racetrack in the country. You didn't know that, did you? Massbreds get paid up to an additional 25% of their purse earnings for the owner, and breeder, and stallion owner, and developer. It's the best-kept secret in racing, till now. Tell all your friends, and to learn more, visit massbreds.com.
Breaking down the biggest stories in the world of horse racing, this is At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
You showed me how to do exactly what you do, how I fell in love with you. You walk into a room and people fall for you, how I wanna be like you.
We're back about 25 into hour three, coming to you from Tampa, and thanks to Vic Stauffer and Thorograph and Oaklawn. Dave Hill is going to join us, and we'll spend the rest of the morning talking about Super Bowl and Dave ending a fabulous first year as analyst for the NFL for the New York Times. But I first have to mention, and I'm sure we'll have guests from racing to pay tribute in coming days to Burt Bacharach, who has passed away, and a huge friend to the game, fan of the game, owner, breeder, and an institution. Just wow. And, you know, anybody our age, our parents' age to some degree, too. I mean, just an absolute titan. Dave Hill, good morning.
Good morning.
We had Jake Delhomme in the opening segment. So Jake is the table setter, and you're going to knock them all down from here, the pins.
I shall do my best.
Well, since we talked last week, there's been not a lot more movement to the line, tiny bit. What are your observations, first of all, on the simple elements in terms of points and in terms of sides?
Well, I mean, what we saw, we talked a little bit about this last week, is that the number swung pretty fast from the Eagles getting points to the Eagles being the favorites in sort of the opening minutes. And really it's sort of solidified there. I mean, it's moved a little bit, but it hasn't shifted through that zero again. I think it's sort of hovered up from 1.5 to 2, back to 1.5. That's because the money is probably coming in pretty fairly balanced at this point, at least at that 1.5 number, right? I mean, if they take a big bet on the Eagles or a sharp bet on the Eagles, and then they move the number to 2, then the money comes right back on Kansas City. So so I think we're in the right area for the line on the game at this point. The number on the total, I haven't paid much attention to. What's it at right now? Was it 50 and a half?
That's, yeah, 50 and a half.
Yeah. And it's pretty much stayed there. You know, that's a little bit low compared to where it probably would have been if they felt like the Chiefs were coming to this game 100%. It probably would have been a couple points higher than that. So 50 and a half is also a number that's probably pretty close to where it should be. So those numbers both scare me. You know, I'm not sure I'm going to bet on the total. But, you know, there's a lot of good, interesting totals in the props that I think do not have the same level of they're just not as efficient. I talked about that in my column a little bit today. But, you know, the Super Bowl side in total is maybe one of the most bet on events, you know, in the world, other than maybe World Cup soccer. It's just such a huge market. It's so liquid that that it's easier for the sports books to get the number to, you know, what they, you know, as close to what's probably an accurate 50-50 probability as they can. But because there are literally thousands of props offered on the Super Bowl, then no single market is that liquid, and there's a lot more inefficiencies that you can find within the prop menu.
Well, then let's, before we do anything else, and before we start talking props, let's get the pick overall. And I had read about half of your column earlier before the show started, and now I've scrolled through the rest, and I realized it seemed like you were leaning in one direction, and then you came back the other way.
Well, that's because this was a hard game to pick. I mean, and I honestly had a hard time handicapping it. It was difficult. Like I said, I think the number's pretty good. So it was tough. There was a lot of me. In the end, it came down to much more of a sort of a it's more qualitative than a quantitative handicap here. You know, I feel like I went a little bit more with narrative than with the numbers. And yeah, I landed on Kansas City. Taking the points, I'd much rather get 2 than 1.5, but I do think that it's nice to get the 1.5. And I think that my kind of qualitative analysis of this game is that, you know, this is a league that I think what I said in the column is that these two teams, they match up really well, maybe better than two Super Bowl teams ever have. They're both coming into the Super Bowl with the same number of points scored in the regular season, which is kind of a wild stat. They both have the exact same win-loss record. And when you look at their DVOA, I mean, you know, Kansas City has an edge over the Eagles offensively. The Eagles have a much larger edge over the Chiefs defensively. But I just don't, you know, with respect to Bear Bryant, I just don't think that defense wins championships anymore. I think it's offense that wins championships. And there are concerns about injuries, but they seem to be mostly put to bed. I mean, everybody's playing except for Hardman, you know, and what I say in the column is that if, you know, even though Andy Reid says that Mahomes is not 100%, even if he's, you know, a little bit better than what we saw against the Bengals, he's still going to be the best quarterback on the field. So I just decided, you know, I'll take the best quarterback and the best offense with the coach that has the most experience. And taking a 1.5, it just felt like I was, you know, there were too many things tipping the scale on the side of Kansas City. You know, having said all that, I really think Nick Sirianni's a better coach in game. I think he has better instincts in the game. I think that, you know, I think the Eagles do have a very formidable defense. And I think it's going to be a close game. It'll be a lot of fun, which I think it should be. Super Bowl.
I want to add one other layer to the oddity that people are noting about them, you know, both teams having scored the exact same number of points. There's even a further bizarre scenario. For starters, I think I mentioned it to you. Going into this, you realize the Eagles and the Chiefs are the two franchises that have played each other the least amount of times in the post-merger era. They've only played 9 times, and the Chiefs lead the series 5-4. Not that that means anything Sunday, but as a further oddity, In those nine games, the Eagles have scored 219 points, the Chiefs 218.
It's crazy.
It's also bizarre. The Eagles and Chiefs played each other in 1972 and then not again for 20 years.
Yeah. Well, here they are. They're meeting now. And you know, and it's also Andy Reid. You know, he won a Super Bowl with the Eagles.
Captain
and now
Andy.
He's facing him. So it's, you know, there's some of that. There's some interesting storylines there. And the Kelce brothers, I think, is a fun storyline.
Yep.
But, you know, I think that it's a chalky Super Bowl, but that's what we want. I mean, I think that, you know, it's the Super Bowl we all deserve. We're getting number one versus number one. And neither quarterback is 100%, right?
Yep.
I mean, we still don't totally know about Jalen Hurts' shoulder. He didn't look 100% 2 weeks ago. So that worries me too about the Eagles. But I got to tell you, Steve, I was close to picking them. I was, because it's hard to argue with the market. You know, the market seems to really favor the Eagles, and it's hard to argue with this market in particular. But, you know, that game script can fall apart, right? I think if the Eagles get off to a good lead, then they're going to be tough to stop, given what we already said about Kansas City's weaknesses on defense. But if this is a game where they're going to be trading scores, you know, I like Patrick Mahomes' ability to score last.
Did you? I sent you that little nugget that Johnny D had sent to me about line movement 18 times in Super Bowl history. This came from Twitter. John Ewing tweeted it originally. 18 times in Super Bowl history, the line has moved 1.5 or more points. The team that saw the line move in their direction went 16-2 straight up, 14-4 against the spread.
Yeah, this is a trend that I don't know that I would want to. You know, I think it's worth taking a closer look at this trend and breaking it down further, because there's a big difference between a point spread move that goes through zero versus one that doesn't, especially if that point spread move goes through seven or three, which neither of those that you just mentioned do. But still, like, the thing is, we've had a lot of Super Bowls where we've had Super Bowls where the spread was big. I mean, we've had 20-point spreads in the Super Bowl before. And we've had Super Bowls where the spread was less than a field goal, like we do this year. When the spread is under a field goal and the market thinks the game is going to be really close, then those kinds of moves on either side of the zero, but without crossing the three, those are not huge moves, right? The zero is dead. The half point on either side of the zero is worth very little relative to a half point on either side of a three. So, yeah, a move from 4.5 to 6.5 or 7 is a much bigger move than this one. So I don't really think that this move that we're seeing here is that wild. To say that one team is going to win by 1.5 and then change your mind and say, no, the other team's going to win by 1.5. You know, I mean, when we're under a field goal, we're really just talking about pick 'em. You know, if this game comes down to 1 point, and it very well could, you know, I'll feel like a genius for taking the point.
Right.
And, you know, with two evenly matched teams, it's very likely that it could come down to who gets a point, who gets a 2-point conversion, or who scores last. And so that's why I think that, you know, I don't think this is that outrageous that it swung. And look, it made that swing in the first 15 minutes. So that means that when the market making books put up the number, they took a few bets early in those 15 minutes. Those bets were not like $1 million Mattress Mac type bets. They might have been $10,000 bets, but they might have come from a better that those bookmakers really respect their opinion. And so the bookmaker quickly changes their opinion.
Well, that was what we heard from the manager at Circa that we discussed last week, that part of it. Let's dive in to the prop conversation. And I've been following unabated on Twitter, and there's been some they've had really good 3-4 minute videos talking about prop approach. Rufus Peabody himself as well, Dave, has been weighing in. He says he's waiting until Sunday morning, essentially, or Sunday afternoon to make his final prop plays, essentially. A couple of things I noted when I was discussing the game with Jake Delhomme, and I went and looked at his stats. One thing that I wanted to grab as part of the conversation with you is when it comes to figuring out what player props in terms of over under of yardage, number of catches, head to head, whatever it might be, the first place I would think everybody wants to go is to estimate how many plays there's going to be in the game. And in Jake's game, as it happens, the Panthers only handled the ball 49 snaps. The Patriots, 83 for a total of 131 snaps. In the Eagle-Patriot best Super Bowl of all time, for obvious reasons, they both handled the ball 71 times exactly, each, for 142. And, I mean, isn't that the starting point in figuring out how the ball gets spread and who has the potential to blow through their over-unders or miss them?
Yeah, I mean, I think that people that handicap props, that they build out a game script that starts with the market number, right? So you can't just look at everything that a team – you can't look at a team's whole season and say, well, how many snaps did they have, you know, and how were these snaps distributed to each of these players throughout the game and build a model that way. I think what people like Rupus do is they look at only the games that fit fit the characteristics of this game, meaning what are the games that Kansas City played where they were within a field goal in the point spread, and what were the games that the Eagles played where they were within, and how did those games play out in particular, and then how were the snaps distributed, how were the plays distributed with each snap, et cetera, and build a model that way. And when you start with the market's point spread and the market's total to build out that script, you get something that's a little bit more refined than if you just take the whole data from the entire season, which I think is an interesting point. And then from there, you know, you should be able to look at, you know, you should be able to start making a projection about stats around, you know, about what you think that the average should be. And there's an important distinction here about averages and medians too. Means it means because the sports book line is going to be the median number, right? So then if you can come up with a mean and compare that to the median, you can find value, which I think is something that a lot of people, and particularly, you know, sports books miss. So it's, you know, there's a lot of science to handicapping props, but I don't think that a lot of the folks listening to the show today need to worry themselves that much with having to go to Excel and or R or whatever and build out a computer model of what the game could look like. Sometimes there's a lot simpler ways to do it. But I do think that one of the key lessons that folks should take away from this conversation or from thinking about Super Bowl props, if they take nothing else away, is that if you're looking at a prop and you like that prop and you have an opinion on it, even if it's just a qualitative opinion, right? Even if it's just like, oh, I think that Kelsey should catch more, you know, get more yards than what this number says. Just remember that the way that this always works is that you want to bet unders as late and you want to bet overs early. And so when somebody like Rufus Peabody says, well, I'm going to wait till Sunday morning to bet, well, that's because most of what he bets is unders and nos. And the number will be best right before game time. You're never going to get a better number. And the reason why is that most of us like to bet on overs and yeses. Most of us want to bet on, yes, there will be a safety. Why? Because the number for yes, safety is a plus number where we can bet a little and win a lot. But if we want to bet no safety, we have to lay a big price to win a little. Nobody wants to do that. People would rather bet the long shot and hope for it and pray for it. And so that drives the numbers up to where the no becomes best a better value on game time because all the money has come in on yes. And it's the same with individual player props. Most people want to bet on the overs. If you like Miles Sanders and you think that he's going to get a lot of carries, you're going to want to bet his number over. And if enough people throughout the 2 weeks prior to the Super Bowl bet over, the number gets pushed a little bit so that there's a lot more value on the under. And so guys like Rufus will wait till the end to bet under. And so that means if you like an over, you should bet it as soon as you can because the number's just going to move in the other direction.
In terms of your preferences, and you mentioned the no part, and I saw the interview with Rufus and one of the people that work at Unabated, and they were explaining that no is always preferable, essentially, for at least to their approach. So questions like fourth down conversion for a touchdown, yes or no. You know, some there's some esoteric yes-nos that are out there. You know, either team scoring in the first 6.5 minutes. Then you can get into the individual, players, and then there's the insane things like, number of songs that Rihanna's going to perform at halftime. The over-under is 9.5, by the way.
There's a good story about that. The bet on what her first song will be, it leaked out, and so people were all getting their money down on that fast, and now all the books offshore have taken the bet off the board, and they're canceling all the bets they were already made on it because some journalist at the Super Bowl managed to leak out in some report what the what the set list would be. So those bits have all come down, unfortunately.
So great.
If you can still find it, if you got a local bookie out there you can bet with, evidently her first song's gonna be "Bitch Better Have My Money." So there's a hot tip for any of your listeners if they can get the bit.
Outstanding. There's quite a few great video tie-ins to that. For those that are not necessarily Rihanna fans, which I am, and
happens every year. Last year it was the color of the dress of the person singing the national anthem that leaked out ahead of time, and people were able to get in on that. The people recorded the national anthem at the rehearsal to get the timing so that they could bet the over under on it. The Gatorade color leaks out every year. There was a huge move this year on blue. So blue is now the favorite, and I don't know if that's because information leaked or if it's just because blue has won a lot in the past. So that's another thing worth looking at, is that when you see a huge move in the market with lots of money coming in on one color, it might be because info leaked. But
this
is why gaming regulators in Nevada and New York smartly don't let us bet on this stupid stuff.
Well, let's talk about some of the numbers, and you talked about the plus and minus. Have you noticed any lines that seem generous on player prop that you're interested in?
Yeah, I have. And I think that, again, because I've already bet overs. The overs that I liked, I bet, and I'm waiting on the unders that I like, that I'll probably bet on Sunday, like for reasons we already discussed. One of the big unders that I like a lot that I haven't bet yet because I want to see how much it'll move is Patrick Mahomes, passing yards. His number right now is 294.5. I think that's I think there's value on the under there. And I think that number, if it ticks up from 294.5 to 295, 295.5, I think there'll be even more value. But I haven't bet that one yet. Interestingly enough, Jalen Hurts' number is projected at 238.5. So this is another reason why I think I went, lean towards Kansas City, because even the market and the prop markets are saying that they think there'll be a lot more, passing offense from the Chiefs than there will be from the Eagles, which I think bodes well, given that the whole sort of concern about the Eagles was the receiver core. But sort of along that same line, I think that because we know that Mahomes isn't going to be doing a lot of deep passes, I mean, he really hasn't all season, right? I mean, this has been Mahomes's, I think this has been a record for him in terms of his, he's had fewer than 10% of his completions this year were over 20 yards. So he's, his offense is much more kind of close and tight than ever before in his career. And I think and now that he's a little bit injured, I think that makes even more sense. And so that's why I looked at passes to Kansas City's running backs and the numbers there. So the receptions numbers, like McKinnon, his number's at 2.5 on receptions, and looks like from the board that it may be moving, and some books are moving it to 3.5. I bet over 2.5 and got down on that pretty hard, just because I think and I think that there's just a really good chance that that there's going to be a lot of plays drawn up for not just Kelce, but also for screen passes to the running backs, short dink and dunk passes where the running backs pick up the pieces when plays are falling apart, et cetera. So I really think there was some interesting overs there. I also like the over for Miles Sanders. I mean, was it Sanders? His numbers moved too. I got Sanders is, he's at point a half of reception. So any reception to Miles Sanders, the over would pay there. And I thought that was a great bet. But now that I'm looking at the board, it's already moving to 1.5. So you can see why they say bet overs early. So yesterday I was able to get Miles Sanders receptions at a half. Wow. And it's already moved to 1.5 in a lot of books.
Wow.
So, yeah, this is why you want to get your overs in early. I think that I think there's an interesting play on Sanders' under on the rushing yards. And I just think it's a little inflated, and it's another one I'm going to wait on. But his number is at 61.5 at FanDuel. It's a juiced 59.5 at DraftKings. It's 60.5 at PointsBet. And even though I think those numbers are pretty good, I think there's a lot of value on the under, especially if you can get it at minus 110. And so I'm just going to wait and see if that number continues to tick up. Because it's already gone from 59.5 to 60.5 at some places. And if it goes up to 61.5 everywhere else, or 62, I think the under looks good there too. You know, it's a little counterintuitive because, of course, Sanders will get, should get a lot of carries in this game. But, again, the number just is getting pushed up too high. My projection shows him at around 61 rushing yards. So I like that one a lot too. A big one, if you have access to this book, there's a book here in New York anyway called Bet Rivers, but you can probably find a similar price other places. But Pacheco's receptions, you know, an alt line on that is 3.5. His number's 1.5 pretty much everywhere. But Bet Rivers has an alt price at plus 420 on 3.5 receptions. And I bet over this. Even though it seems wild to think that Pacheco's going to catch four balls, for a lot of the logic I said before about, you know, Mahomes' other running backs catching passes. At plus 420, I just think that's a massive amount of value on him catching four balls, especially since I project him to catch about three anyway. So I bet that, and I bet it pretty good since it's such a good price. I'd rather have that alt line of plus 420 than take the over 1.5, which I still think has a lot of value. But it's juiced at, you know, minus 185, minus 195 for over 1.5. There's still value on that, but, you know, there's much more value, I think, in taking the alt line at plus 420. So folks should do that, too, when you're looking at these numbers, especially with these, you know, these recreational books like this. See if they got, what kinds of prices they offer on alt lines. If you can get an alt line with a good plus price, you know, depending on what your projections are, you might find better value.
Well, and two things on that topic. Dave Hill with us as we approach the last game of the NFL season. We've had so much fun with Dave. He's been invaluable to our audience. Explain the alternate line concept and also parlay considerations, putting various props together. And also, I imagine, I'm guessing, although I haven't seen very many offers, wouldn't this be a good opportunity for people to look at the books in their market and maybe get a bonus offer?
Yeah, you know, it's weird because last year that was definitely the case. When the Super Bowl came around, New York was still fairly new into the market, and there were tons of interesting offers to get people to sign up with new sports books where they were essentially giving away free money. There's not as much of that this year, at least not in New York. There may be other markets out there that are new where they have some of those, where they are offering some good bonuses for people to sign up. But once they, you know, once you're a customer, those bonuses don't roll out as often, right? I mean, I think a lot of that's just, they offer a lot of that free money to get a customer and retain them. But, once they have you, what a lot of the sports books are trying to do is entice people to bet same game parlays. And so if you already have an account at a regulated sports book, you'll find that a lot of the deals that they send you or promotions that they do in those books are all built around getting extra, you know, boosts of your odds on same game parlays. The same game parlay is a really good deal for the sports books. The pricing is pretty bad for the customer, but customers like betting them a lot because it's a way to turn a bet on a single game into a parlay and, again, get the kind of same lottery-type payout value on a parlay bet on one game. So it's very popular with, you know, recreational gamblers, but the sportsbook has a huge hold on them. And that's not to say there's not value. In fact, if you use unabated in the tools that they have, you can sometimes find value in same game parlays, but it requires doing a little bit of math and a lot of homework to find the diamonds in the rough. You know, it really is like digging around and looking for them. But outside of same game parlays, I haven't seen a lot of great deals from sports books about sign up and make a big bet on the game and get a lot of bonus money. No. Alt lines just means, look, if there's a number that's been set on a game, some of these sports books will allow you to look at, you know, other numbers that are off that market number, but the prices may be, you know, wildly different. And so you may, it's not each of these props. Some of them will offer lots of alt lines and some will just offer a set number of them and give a price on each of them. So you just need to, you know, do a little bit of shopping. And if you have a tool that allows you to calculate some of the value of those prices, that helps even more. But you know, it's sometimes the alt line is where you find the best edges and not on the market line because there's such low volume and the prices can be off. Just a word to the wise though, if all you bet at your sports book is alt lines all the time, they'll probably limit your account because it's sort of the mark of somebody that's, you know, a sharp bettor or someone who's looking, you know, who's an advantage player.
On that topic, what if you've got in your own model and you're convinced, you know, the Eagles are going to beat them handily or that the Chiefs are going to win handily and going and getting, the Eagles minus 9.5. You know, I see those offers out there.
Yeah, and you'll get a better price on the game.
Yes.
Yeah, look, if you have an opinion and that shows that you think that the market number of 1.5 is way off, then you should find that alt line and bet it. There's other ways to do that, too. I mean, some of this is like there's just so – it can be a little overwhelming, right? I mean, just even looking at the Westgate Superbooks, like prop pack, the packet, it's like just 30-something double-sided pages of props. It just goes on. And some of them are indexed where it's like you get multiple, you know, bets on each proposition. Some of them are cross sports props where it's like you're betting who will get, you know, will LeBron score more points or the Eagles, you know, like that, those kinds of props that are also can be a little overwhelming. But, you know, some of it is just about looking through and finding another way to make the bet that you want to make. Right. So somebody I know was tweeting about how they wanted to bet. There was a prop at DraftKings that said that the total number of all the jersey numbers that score touchdowns in the game would be over or under 170. And, you know, he sort of rightly figured out that, like, the only way to get over would be for Travis Kelce and Dallas Goedert to both score a touchdown since they have such large jersey numbers. So you could bet the under comfortably and then just go parlay the anytime touchdown with those two guys to hedge the other side of it and probably lock up a profit, right? So sometimes it's just about hunting around between this massive menu of props and finding all other ways to make the bet you want to make that might offer you more value. Another example of this is like people were talking about how if you think that the Eagles are going to, you know, if you have a strong opinion on who's going to win the game straight up, then you know, there's ways that you can make some of these cross sports props. Another thing about the cross sports props that I'm sorry to jump around, I guess, but the other thing that's interesting about the cross sports props that I was just thinking about this morning is that we just had the NBA trade deadline. And so some of these props that cross with the NBA, probably the lines were made before the trade. A lot of these big time trades were made. So one thing that it might be worth looking at when we get off today is checking some of the numbers on these cross sport props with Kevin Durant or with the Nets or with the Suns and seeing if maybe the lines haven't moved yet and grabbing some value there too. So this is kind of what the game is with the prop menu. It's so vast that it's really like panning for gold and seeing what you can find.
Well, Dave, we found an absolute gem of a segment all season long. I'm so glad that I thought to do this and ask you to come visit each week, and it'll leave a gaping hole now on the Thursday visits. We'll do a recap next week, but I guess that gives me about a week or 10 days to figure out what we can manipulate Dave Hill to do next.
Well, I'm always happy to do it, and I appreciate you asking me to do it this season. It's been a lot of fun, and I look forward to it every week.
We look forward to having Dave Hill, whatever the topic is. And as we discovered last week, it could be This American Life. It could be any crazy thing. It could be Sideshow Bob. It's always a mystery. It's a mystery magical event when Dave Hill joins us. Dave, enjoy the game, and we'll talk next week.
You too. Talk to you next week.
Dave Hill, everybody. And there it is. I'm going to give you the music from here, I think. There we go. I can. Really sad by the news of Burt Bacharach's passing, and so many people in the game, particularly California. Well, Joe, we'll get to people next week, all right? And pay tribute to Burt Bacharach. Back at Tampa tomorrow for the weekend preview. Join us. Good luck your playing today, everybody. Thanks to Dave. Thanks to Vic, Tony Black, Sean Clancy, and Jake Delhomme, the Snake. See you tomorrow.
It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
Here in Pennsylvania, we're proud of our radio program, the best in North America. But we're also proud to be leaders in this industry. The PA Horse Breeders Association is funding cutting-edge research at Penn Vet into equine health and safety. And we endorse the SAFE Act to help protect the most vulnerable horses. Plus, we're pleased to support the aftercare programs set up by our horsemen's groups. Just a few of the reasons why you should join us in Pennsylvania, the premier place to breed and race.
Who are you betting on? How about an app created specifically for horse racing? Naira Bets. We specialize in thundering hooves, fist pumping, and boosting your bankroll with robust weekly promotions, and offer betting tips from